Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell. Today, Sunday, December 7th, we are excited about tonight's guest. We have film and television makeup artist Debbie Young on the line. Before we speak with Debbie, I just want to remind you to call 914-803-4399 if you have a question or comment. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi, Janice. How are you?
I am wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've been talking about it for a long time, so we finally asked you to come on, so I'm glad we got you on.
Thanks again.
I'm not sure if my sister is on the line yet. I see her, but I don't hear her. So.
I'm here.
Hi, Denise.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
Wonderful.
So, Debbie, we're going to start off the show first by asking you to introduce yourself. Just give us an idea of how long you've been doing makeup, what inspired you to become a makeup artist, where you're from, and stuff like that.
Well, my name is Debbie Young. I've been doing makeup now, I would say professionally, for over 30 years. Years, probably been doing it a lot longer before I became a professional. But I'm from Baltimore. I'm born and raised here in Baltimore. And I just had a love for it as a child. My dad was a barber, and I was always mixing his potions in the barbershop and rubbing them on people. And, you know, and as I got older, my little girlfriends used to come to my house when we were teenagers to get their makeup done before we went to our little parties and concerts. And when I did, I was just doing it because I loved it. But as I continued to do it, I realized that it really boosts self-esteem. So I kind of started doing it because it made people feel good about themselves. But it was just, I think, because I loved it so much since I was a child, it's just my divine design. I just think that's what I was meant to do.
Absolutely. You know, I never knew that your father was a barber all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My dad was a barber. And as a matter of fact, it's so funny because, you know, how parents can maybe see what their child is good at. And I remember him saying to me when I was about 10, he said, "Oh, your name will be in credits." And I said, "Dad, what are credits?" You know, then he explained to me as the movie went off, all the names there. And he said, "And you see, you know, hit Max Factor makeup, you know, by Max Factor, Westmore." So, you know, of course, I didn't know what credits were, but it was just like he spoke it into my life.
Right. Was he ever interested in doing anything like film and television work?
My dad?
Uh-huh.
No, not at all. And I wasn't even interested. You know, I just think he said it, and I did not even realize it until much later, you know, just remembering back. It wasn't what I aspired to do. When you're a child, you know, you grow up, you just think you're going to be a physician or a nurse.
Right.
I know I love people and I cared about people. But it always seemed like no matter what job I had, I was always doing makeup. I worked for the police department for 5 years, and I was making up ladies in the ladies' room. You know, it's just crazy. But I was always doing makeup no matter what job I did. So, you know, again, and you don't even think about it because it was a hobby, you know, again.
Right.
And as time went on, you know, and I just thought about it. I said, you know what, maybe I should look more into this. You know, so
mm-hmm.
as when I was at the police department, I have two sons. They're grown now. But my youngest son, after he was born, I said, you know what, I think I need to concentrate on getting my license so
mm-hmm.
I could get the biggest license that I possibly could get, you know, at that time. I was at the police department. I decided to take whatever savings that I had and put it into school. And I went to school to be an esthetician. Now, it was the biggest license you could get for makeup
uh-huh.
at that time in the state of Maryland. And
right.
it just went on from there. And, again, I never aspired to do film. I really honestly believe that what I was doing was adding value to somebody's
uh-huh.
life, you know, because so many people sit down and they think so bad about themselves sometimes. And it just evolved. And I always say it was divine design. But I was working at Saks Fifth Avenue, and one day one of my clients came in. She was a journalist, and she told me that she was hosting a television show. And this is how I transitioned into television. She
okay.
was hosting a television show. She asked me if I would do her makeup. She said they won't. You know, they won't pay you. They don't have a budget to pay you, but we'll give you a credit. And I just said, okay. And so I did her makeup for the show while the host was out of town. She was guest hosting. And when the host returned, he, you know, kept me on. And then any other commercial projects or film projects that he did, they always called me. And it was kind of word of mouth. You know, I never,
right.
because I always had like a full-time job back during that time, and this was like in the 80s, you know, it was always something that I was doing on the side, and it just kind of evolved until I was doing more makeup than other things.
Point that you say, okay, forget the police station, and I'm going to do this full-time. I'm going to do makeup full-time.
You know, it was crazy because, you know, when you're working on a regular 9-to-5, so to speak,
uh-huh.
you know, and by no means am I speaking against 9-to-5s, you know,
right.
but when I found out that I could make more in a day or a half day than I was making in a week, you know, I just started thinking, well, you know, these jobs have to take precedence. And
right.
so, you know, I just kind of, you know, decided my oldest son was going off to college. And I decided that I wasn't going to, I didn't want to work in retail anymore, you know, when I was at Saks. I didn't want to work in retail anymore because you had to work weekends. And I wanted to have more time, you know, before he went off to college. So, you know, I decided, you know, I'm going to work a 9-to-5 for a bit. But then when the other jobs start coming in, I just said, okay. And so the host who kept me on one day called me and asked me about doing a television show for Tim and Daphne Reed. And he said, I recommended you. I went, they had an audition, you know, so to speak, for the makeup artist. And they hired me, and they were shooting like 40 shows. So that was my big intro into television. Uh-huh. It was being produced by King World, who were syndicators. And then Tim and Daphne start hiring me for every project that they did, and somehow or another, it transitioned into film. There, back in, I guess, the 90s, late 80s, they had a lot of film coming through Baltimore and
mm-hmm.
Into the 90s, and someone called me about a movie that was coming in, Robert Townsend movie, Meteor Man, and that was my first feature film that I worked on, and all my work became like word of mouth. I worked with somebody, and fortunately for me, and of course you don't know at the time, the film, there were veteran makeup artists on the film. They hired me as their third makeup artist. They were from L.A., and
uh-huh.
I was hired as the third. I didn't know anything about day playing or any of that stuff. You know, my first job, a first feature film, I was hired at the third, and the makeup artist was very generous, the key makeup artist who showed me. I didn't even know what a call sheet was, and she just explained it all to me, and I kind of learned as I went along. And then after that, they had a television show for NBC, Homicide, that came to Baltimore, and they hired me on that show, and I was hired as the key. So it's just crazy how it happened, but it's not really crazy. I always say it's divine order, you know, but I learned as I went along. And what I do know for sure is that you always have to come with your A game. You know, I always wanted to be excellent at what I did. I always wanted to do my job well, and it just kind of evolved from that, you know. And later on, though, you know, I did a lot of when they had movies coming in from, because we're in Washington, D.C. area, there were a lot of films that came in that wanted the D.C. landscape. So maybe they had shot the movie somewhere else, but they would come here to do the exteriors. And even during that time, that's when I learned about day playing. You know, you would come and work on the Washington, D.C. unit. And you just learn so much. I just wanted to take away from every experience as much as I could possibly take away.
Absolutely. And you mentioned earlier, you know, you got your aesthetics license, and then you had some experience working for your client on the television show. But how important, and I don't know if you were working in the makeup department or another department, in fact, but how important is it for a makeup artist to get that retail experience at the counter?
Let me just tell you, for me, and it depends, you don't necessarily need it for the film industry, you know, but I feel that if you ever want to hone your skills, you need to know how to do everybody. And what retail gave me was that I got the face of America. You know, I had older, young, diverse groups. You know, so I learned how to do everybody. You know, if your skin was wrinkled, if your skin was tight, you know, if you were dark, you were light. I felt the retail industry helped me to hone my skills, and I never felt, how do I say, insecure by anybody that came to me for makeup.
Right.
I felt like I learned, you know, I learned how to do everybody, male, female, old, young, black, white, Asian, didn't matter. You know, so that's the experience it gave me. And a lot of times I get a lot of young makeup artists who call me and ask, you know, what should they do? And they maybe haven't done anything. You know, maybe they've done, like, weddings or something like that. And I just tell them, if you're not comfortable doing all skin, try for a bit to work in a retail arena and see, you know, how much you can learn. You learn from other artists. You know, they have, I guess, events at the department store, and you might have a bunch of artists come in. And that's a great thing about day playing. You work with a lot of other artists, and I always feel like you can gain valuable information from everyone.
Absolutely. Let me go back just a little bit. Before your first feature film experience, you said you were working with Tim and Daphne Reed on their show. So that was your first television show.
That was my first television show.
Okay. What was that experience like? What did you do to prepare for that job?
You know what? I didn't even know, you know, what I needed to do. You know, all I knew is I needed to do makeup. It was a variety. It was a talk show. So it's like you come in, you have segments on the show, segment producers for each segment, and they have guests. And we shot 40 shows. We would shoot this show. And, again, it was a talk show. And you would have the guests come in. They would come in and do makeup. And then they would go out and they would shoot the segment. And while they're shooting that segment, the next group would come in, you know, for makeup. And it went on and on. So it was mostly film for a set, but not so much like, I'm sorry, makeup for a set, but not so much for film. You know, I wasn't really creating, you know, you were having people look good, so to speak. You know,
right.
Not really skits like Saturday Night Live or anything like that.
Right, right.
And again, it was no preparation. You know, of course, during that time, most of my experiences came from, you know, buying books and,
uh-huh.
you know, for preparation, like books and magazine, and I would try to duplicate it because at that time, you know, you didn't have YouTube.
Nope.
Right? Where you could go learn a tutorial or something like that. You either learn as you went along or, you know, and I always felt like in my downtime, always try to learn something new, you know, or
right.
things that you weren't as strong at, work at it. You know,
right.
so
absolutely.
It's crazy. You know, it was way before social media and internet.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, when you started, those things didn't exist. When I started, social media, of course, YouTube and all of that wasn't there. The internet was there, but the internet wasn't like it is today. So all of the information that's out there wasn't there back then. What do you think, as far as being a makeup artist is concerned, do you think that had you had all of those things back then, it would have made a difference in your career, do you think?
You know, and I'm not really sure. It just
mm-hmm.
depends on how people use it. You know,
right.
I've never, all my jobs have come from word of mouth, you know, a recommendation, which I think mm-hmm. is the strongest thing. You know,
absolutely.
I never had to say, hey, look at me over here with this person. I've never done that.
Right.
You know, so I just feel like, and I still even, like when makeup artists call me today, I always say to them, just go in with your A game. Be excellent, you know, be on point, want to do the best job, and because you never know who's watching you, and you never know where the next job is coming from. And I just think sometimes it's a mistake if you think the only way that you can get in is just to latch on to someone. You know, I think
right.
that you should just never be that comfortable because people can change their mind. You latch on to that person and then, you know, then they're on to the next and then you're out there. But I feel like if you're constantly working to make yourself excellent, doing the best job you can, the cream always rises to the top. You know, you don't have to toot your own horn. Your work has. And you know, I mean, it has just worked for me over the years.
Absolutely. We preach that, say that all the time here on Beauty Talk. One of the
yeah.
things
I think that's the most important thing. Come with
yep.
your A game. Be excellent.
Yep. Let your work
I tell the young
you.
Artists, I said, I said, if the film is rolling, your eyes should be on the monitor. You have to watch your set. You can't be on set, you know, swiping an iPad or on your telephone. And you just never know, you know. And sometimes people come on set and they don't know who the producers are or who the executive producers. You just never know who's watching you
mm-hmm.
for the
mm-hmm.
next thing.
And there's always a time when, of course, like if you're a department head or a key or whatever, there's going to always be times when you do have to swipe the iPad or your phone or something. But, you know, when the cameras are rolling, you really should have your eyeballs on the monitor.
Absolutely. And it does. And, I mean, a lot of times, you know, it is when you're a department head or a key. There may be a email that's coming in that someone
mm-hmm.
needs some information because they're trying to get the next group of actors ready. There are things
right.
that you have to answer, but I'm just saying, you know, on their shopping
right.
or.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, that sort of thing. You know, just, you know, let it be work related.
Shopping. Because you know, we've seen it all.
Yes, we have. And it's really,
right,
they do such a disservice to themselves. You know, but I do. I try to always tell, you know, young artists, you know, just, you know, leave that. If they're doing a big lighting setup, then you can do it.
Right, right. You know,
like you were saying, that you have artists reach out to you all the time. I just had an artist send me an email, and she was interested in doing print editorial work as well as film. Her resume shows a lot of editorial, so I guess she was really looking for advice about how to get into film. One, let me ask you if you can, what kind of advice would you give? I know what I told her, but what kind of advice would you give to someone who's interested in getting into film and television work? And then two, talk a little bit about the union, because one of the things that I'm noticing is there are a lot of artists out there, because television and film, that particular part of the industry is getting more and more popular, there are a lot of people who are throwing around that word, the union. Some of them don't really know what it is, why they need to be in there, if they really need to be in there, based on where they want to work in the industry. So can you talk a little bit about, one, what advice would you give to someone who wants to start a career in film and television, and then, two, explain a little bit about what the union is and why you need to be in the union if you're interested in film and television?
Well, if you want to do film and television, most film and television, there are some independent products that are independent projects that are non-union. But if you want to do film and television, it's best to be in the union. The union does not give you a job or get a job for you. What the union is there to do is to protect you from being abused by productions. I'm sure before they organized, there were times where they could work you too long or work you many hours without feeding you and that sort of thing. So the union is there to protect you if there would be a production company or a studio that wanted to abuse. Now, if you want to do film and television, I think it's to your advantage to try to get in the union. And sometimes it's a hard thing. And the rules change over the years. And, you know, they constantly change with the landscape of the industry. I find that the incentives that the states have, because of the incentives some states have, more productions may go to that state because they have the money to give back or to the production company. And what has happened in states like Georgia and Louisiana, they are right-to-work states. So you don't necessarily have to be in the union, but because so many productions are going to these towns, sometimes they don't have a workforce, enough of a workforce, to, I guess, apply all the films. So then sometimes you get people who are non-union. But if it's a union project, I just think, you know, if at all possible, to try to get in the union while you're on the project. Now, you can always go to the website, and they will lay out the criteria of what you need to be in the union. But because the landscape is changing, it's ever-changing, you know. And I just think, if you want to do film and television, it protects you. It really does protect you from the being abused by the production company. But if you're doing, just say, for instance, editorial, you don't necessarily have to be in the union. You know, some people make a very good life doing editorial and or maybe like fashion shows or performances. But I just think if you're doing film and television, you should be in the union. You know, and it helps you. And the union sometimes offer classes, advanced classes, you know. But, you know, I just think that it's always changing. So I can't, you know, tell them exactly.
Right. Exactly.
But it just, and it depends on which state, you know, you're working
right
out of.
Absolutely. All right, so we have someone on the phone line. I don't think you're going to be surprised. Hello.
Hi, I have a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, my
Who's
name is
calling?
Noy. Noy.
Joy? Okay.
I'm
Hi,
an
Joy.
Inspiring makeup artist.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to ask you, what episode? I didn't get the first, the beginning part of the interview, and I'm not sure if you touched on this, but what is some advice you can give to aspiring makeup artists? I just feel like right now there's so many makeup artists out there. I'm sure, I don't know if you noticed that, you know, when you first started, maybe wasn't as popular of a career. And I just don't know. Like, I feel like it's so competitive. Like, what's some advice that you would give to aspiring makeup artists?
I am so glad you said that. You know, even when I started, you know, there were other makeup artists, and people, they compete. I don't compete. I believe that what is divinely yours is yours. Don't ever let somebody tell you that, oh, this industry is too saturated, there are too many artists in there. I'm saying if this is your gift and this is something that you really want to do, you go for it. Don't let anybody shut you down. And I'm not saying, and I'm telling you along the way, always be kind, always share information. The blessings come back to you. You know, I don't compete. I believe that there is no competition on the spiritual plane. What is divinely yours is yours. If somebody else gets the job, it's their job. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't let anybody tell you, don't ever let anybody tell you it's too saturated for you to come into the industry.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
When I tell you to do the very best job you can, treat people the way you want to be treated, share your knowledge, the blessings come right back to you. You know, I don't hold back from anybody. Anybody that calls me and asks me for information or help, I give it to them. And I'm not concerned. I don't worry about, oh, I'm not going to tell her everything because then she'll get the work and I won't. I don't even think like that. And when you do, you block yourself. So I'm telling you, if that's what you love doing and you know that you're good at it, you keep working at it and share your knowledge. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Be excellent. I don't care how small the job is. Come with your A game because you never know what will come out of it. I believe everything that you do take you to the next level. Everything that we come across, it's something that we have to do to get to the next thing. But, you know, and it could be a good experience. It could be a bad experience. And even in my bad experiences, I always knew that if I didn't know anything else, I know how not to treat somebody. You
right,
understand?
Right.
So you just have to think of it that way. Just don't ever let anybody shut you down because you're supposed to be there.
Thank you so much. That was great advice. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thanks, Joy. Okay, let's see. We have one more call here. Hold on. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hi, Tiffany. This is. Hi, Tiffany. How are you?
Tiffany.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your
Wonderful.
Question or comment?
This is one of our regulars, Debbie.
Okay.
Right.
Hi.
Hi, Ms. Debbie. First of all, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share everything that you are sharing. I am soaking your information up like a sponge, as I am a person who works in film and television here in Michigan. One of the things, my question to you is, in between assignments or projects, what do you do to stay relevant in the industry? Because if I guess I asked that question because right now I'm not working on a project right now. It's kind of slowed down. And I just want to make sure that I keep my skill for film and working at film and TV, make sure I keep my skill level up. And so I was wondering, what are some of the things that you can suggest being, you know, being in this industry over time, you know, for such a long time, what can artists such as myself do to stay relevant and up to date on our skill?
Well, I tell you, you should always, always study your craft, always, because things are ever changing. And I don't care if you, the trade magazine, like Makeup Artist Magazine, you know, any skill that you don't think you have, because let me just tell you, if you do film and television, so you know it's not all beauty. There's a lot of character makeup, there's special effects, then you have animatronics. There are so many areas that you can work in. So what I would say is always, and like in between my jobs, I study my craft. You know, I come back to my life, of course. You know, I still have to clean out closets and things like that, you know. But I'm telling you always want to make sure, you know, new products. If somebody's having a class, like an advanced class, if you can afford the class, take the class. If you can't afford the class, buy the DVD or buy a book and just study yourself.
Great suggestion. That's a great suggestion. Buy the DVD.
Yeah, because you can't, you know, I couldn't always go off to a class. You know, before I started traveling to do makeup, I have two sons. They're 8 years apart. And I was blessed because I was always here when my children were younger. When I went off to do my first film, my oldest son was in college, you know, and like about to come out of college soon. And then my youngest son was in high school. And so I didn't have to go off. But I couldn't always, because I was paying tuition, my husband and I, and I couldn't always go off and take an advanced class. But I tell you what, I could always buy a book. I could always buy, well, you know, back then a VHS. You know, it evolved to a DVD, you know.
Right.
But I can always, and you can just study on your own. There's always something that you can do. You know, and I mean, there are all kinds of workshops, you know. And maybe you can even initiate a workshop with artists in your town. And, you know, and I've always said this to some of the artists in my town. We have not quite done it yet. But I think it's nice if you could all get together and whatever skill you're strong in, you teach. And whatever skill the next person is strong in, they can teach it. It makes the whole unit strong. Again, everybody's not going to think like that because people are competitive and people sometimes don't want to share. You know, it just blocks them. I just believe that the more we help each other, the more we are helped, you know.
Right. And I was just about to suggest, because my sister and I are always talking about having like little jam sessions where people get together and we just work on anything, you know, anything we want to work on, you know, we're there, we can work on each other's faces and everything.
Yeah.
And I do remember a time here in Atlanta, I think there was some movie that was coming to Savannah, and I believe it was, they have the school and all the students have different powers, X-Men was coming to Savannah, and they were needing, you know, tons of hair and makeup people to come and day play for, like, you know, a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was, they were requiring people to, you know, just, I think, lay on hair and some things like that. And, you know, for some of us, that's not something we do every day, but it's something that we know how to do.
Right.
So a bunch of us, I mean, it was like a lot of the older people in the union here, people who have been in the union probably for like 7 to 20 years, we all got together, whoever could get together, and we all practiced on that one thing because we all knew we could do it, but it was just that we hadn't done it in a while. So we all practiced on each other and we all learned from each other and picked up different skills from each other.
I think that's wonderful. And I mean, I am just so for that. You know, just helping each other because, again, you're not laying hair every day. You're not doing a ball cap every day.
Right.
You know, but these things come up. I was working. Forrest Gump came to D.C. for the D.C. portion, D.C. unit that they shot in Washington. And I remember getting the call to come, and they told me, and this is the first time I ever got a call like that. They said, don't bring your makeup kit. Bring your hair laying kit. And my call time was 2 a.m., and we had 800 extras to have ready by 8 o'clock in the morning. And it was just one laying of hair after another. You know, the sideburns, the mustaches, the goatees, of the 1970s. And I tell you, it was like having a jam session. You know, you just learn so much. I hadn't done a lot of laying hair, but I learned so much. You know, you felt like an expert by the time 8 o'clock in the morning came because you'd done so many of them.
Right. but then it clarifies the laying of hair, because I don't want people to think, oh, I'm just putting on a mustache. A mustache that has lace on. That's not what we're talking about.
Well, it's like when you are, like in the makeup department, any facial hair is the makeup artist. The hairstylist and the barber, of course, they take care of the hair on the head. But sideburns, mustache, goatees, and beards are for the makeup artist, and we have to do it. And when I say laying hair, there is a technique where you have to, you know, cut hair. You know, you may have to take it through the hake, and you lay it out. You fan it out, and you put it on in a certain technique, and then you trim it into the mustache or beard that you want. There's sometimes when you're just doing stubble, you know, and you can cut the hair up and use an adhesive that's not shiny, you know, and just pat it on the face to give the appearance of stubble. Can I name a book, a good book for them to?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
There's a great book, I think, that gives you a lot of photographs on doing that, and that's the Mud Book, Makeup Designery. The character makeup book, I think.
Oh, yes.
Step-by-step photos, which, and it is so, you know, it's just so easy to follow. You know, there are other times, and I just had an experience. I did a movie this summer, and, you know, and I'm just going to my story, but I had an actor who was working. This was an HBO movie I was doing. He was working on another HBO show. And when he came to our film, he was still had been on this series for HBO for quite some time. So his series, which is the one that he had been working on, said, don't touch his beard. You know, we don't want you to cut off his beard. So his beard was white or, you know, gray. And we wanted his beard to be dark. If he's going to keep the beard, we wanted it to be dark because he was supposed to be a young man. He's a young man, but he just, you know, prematurely gray. So I colored the beard in, and it looked great dark. 2 days of shooting him with the beard, because we didn't cut it off because the other HBO show said don't cut it off. 2 days of shooting him, he goes back to his series, because sometimes actors go between, you know, movies and film. You know, they have him in a couple days and then they go somewhere else. He went back to his show, and they decided they want to cut the beard off. And he had already been established with the beard. So, of course, the producers are like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And so we had a mold made of his face, the makeup artist on his series, and she FedExed it to the wig maker for me, who then made a beard just like the one he had. Now, that wasn't going to be ready. Now, this is like on a Wednesday. He's back to shoot with me on a Friday. But she's saying she can have the beard ready by Sunday so that we can do it on Monday. So then Friday, he's coming back to me. And I don't have the new beard yet. So I had to lay hair. So, you know, you just have to put the adhesive on. You take a lot of continuity photos. And we just kind of, you know, laid the hair. And I'm telling you, the producers, the DP, nobody could tell it wasn't real. So, it comes, and sometimes it's not planned. You know, you just have to pull a rabbit out of the hat sometimes.
Right. A lot of times.
So, have you done any, like, any kind of effects?
Just, I guess you could say your basic, like your bruising, creating scars and things of that nature.
Yes.
But as you were talking, I am getting ready to purchase the book, character makeup book. And I have another young lady that I work with typically on movies that does the special effects. And so she's been very forthcoming in teaching me how to apply prosthetics and painting them and, you know, and making them up on the face. So that is definitely something that I'm working on.
It's always,
but I did learn something today with the laying of the hair, because you guys totally had me with, I said, that's Oh, that's what that's actually called. I'm just thinking apply a beard on
right.
So
no, there are
laying on the hair.
Right, because they are, like I said, again, they're hair pieces, mustache sideburns that are made what we call like fine lace pieces that have been ventilated. They've sewn each hair into the lace to make the beard, the mustache, or the sideburns. But then there are other times when you can lay, you know, something quick, you know, with your hand. And as long as you know the technique, you know, you can do it, you know. And you can just practice, you know, just practice on one of your friends. But the Mud Book Character Makeup, Makeup Designery, is a
mm-hmm.
great one for you to start with.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's
yes,
a great
ma'am.
Book.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, $59.95. I have it.
Okay, good.
Already.
See, that's what I
that's
like about
Tiffany for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys.
You
Thank
are
you again.
So welcome. You're so welcome. And it's, I think it's so nice that you have somebody that's working with you that's sharing. And just like
mm-hmm.
he's sharing with you, I don't know if you heard me before, you must share your knowledge.
Yes, ma'am. I did hear you, and I definitely endeavor and all the time to do that. Anybody that you know, anyone that knows me knows that I will share as much as I know, and I'm willing to help.
Right.
Because I do believe that is key.
It is key, and I'm telling you, it will come back to you over and over again.
I believe that. I believe that. What you sow is what you reap, and that is the truth.
It is. It is.
So
I'm
thank you
proof.
Again. I really appreciate it.
All right, dear. Thank you so much for calling.
My Thanks, pleasure. Tiffany.
You're All welcome.
Right. We have two more callers. All right.
Wonderful.
Hello? Hello? Let's try this one. Hello? Hello?
I'm still here.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, this is Viola.
Hi,
Viola.
Viola.
How are you?
I'm good. I just followed Debbie Young on Twitter.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, you sound so, I mean, your voice and your whole approach, it sounds like I've been knowing you, but I just, like, tune in on radio. I try to tune in with these lovely ladies every Sunday, and your wisdom is giving us life right now, and we need that.
Oh, bless your heart.
So,
yeah, I mean,
so much positivity and the energy. We really need that in this industry now.
Yes, we do, and that's why, you know, I'm just like, you know, like I said, I started a long time ago. I refuse to work the other way. You know, I'm not going to be scrappy. I can't do it. We're on that set for many hours, and I always tell people, I come from a happy home. I want a happy work environment, and I want everybody around me to be happy. I don't want anybody in my department working stressed out and, you know, filled up all the time. I want to provide a great work environment. And I'll say it over and over and over again. The way to succeed is to add value to the lives of others. And I don't care if that's using your gift to help somebody or taking what you know and sharing it with somebody to make them better. Because I'm just saying, if that's what you want for others, is what you're going to get for yourself. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just the plain and simple truth. You know, I don't know how to say it any other way. If you try to block somebody, you're going to block yourself. You know, so for me, I don't do it for that reason. I just feel like that's the way it should be. And it's the
right.
only way that I'm going to work. So I'm just, you know, I'm just so grateful that you said that and, you know, and that you're able to spread it the same
right.
way.
Right. Where are you located, Debbie?
I live in Baltimore, you know.
Oh,
I
okay.
live, yeah, right outside of Baltimore, actually, you know.
Okay.
In Owings Mills. But I'm out, you know, I'm in Baltimore, Maryland. And, you know, but I work all over the place. Kind
okay.
of, not necessarily just here.
Okay, because the Tunnel Sisters are from Baltimore. It seems like we need to do something.
That's
you were
right. Now,
speaking
where
about
you
workshops,
from?
I'm digging your style. Chicago.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
Chicago.
Now. We may have to do something because I'm digging it. I mean, we really need to hear your voice. We really need to hear your experiences. And it's really not about us to see your work. It's what you've been through and what you've gone through and what you have shown us and shared with us.
Absolutely. You know, because, again, that's how you make it better. I don't like when people talk about somebody else's work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I don't engage in that. I feel like, you know, I don't want anybody coming to me to talk, you know, negatively about somebody else's work.
Right.
You know, what I'm trying to teach, you know, you stay above the messiness and you help each other. And I'm just saying it's going to spread, you know, if you do it. You know, you can change the heart and minds of people, you know, by being positive.
Right.
And again, there may be some that you can't change. You know, I will try to flip the script for you. But if they're not going to bite, then sometimes the blinds have to go down, you know. But I still wish you well, you know. But I'm going
to
try.
I love it. Yay. I love it. Right. Yay. We definitely need your voice. Yay. This phone call was really good. I'm loving the show tonight, ladies. So I hope all the artists and every stylist and everyone in this industry is really tuning in, because this is really, really good for the soul.
Oh, thank you so much.
Really
thank
good for
you.
The soul, because we get so much negativity, and everyone, like you said, they don't know how to share anymore. You have people who wanted to, instead of learning, they wanted to compete, and we don't stand for that.
Mm-mm.
And it's like you guys are hitting, but you're here. So what I'm saying is that we need more of you ladies and more of artists like you visible.
Well,
for
I'm
artists
saying,
to
it's
see.
Not, you know, these gifts are not ours. You understand what I'm saying? We've been blessed with it. You
right.
know? So, again, to be successful, you have to add value to the lives of others. That's how you're successful, you
right.
know, and to help each other. I can't do it any other way. And when I see if I see like nastiness or ugliness or negativity, I try my best to shut it down in a nice way, of course, you know. And again, you know, some people will try at that moment because they've never maybe dealt with somebody like that, you know, because sometimes people deal with negativity with other negativity. You know, I can't do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly and earnestly want the best for everybody. And I know that we can do this thing. We can go out here and make beauty and make art and be happy and make other people happy. I believe it.
Right.
And most people may not know, but Debbie pretty much is our mentor because, I mean, the beginning of both of our careers in film and television has started with Debbie Young. And a big part of who we are as makeup artists, and I dare say it, as people, is because of Debbie's teachings and what we've learned from her.
Aww.
Right. And it shows and with you yourself and your sister that you ladies have been around positive energy, positive women, positive people, period, in your career. It shows your approach, the calls, the professionalism, your work. It shows what you have been around and what you have put in your life and both of your lifestyles. No messiness. And that's
and
what I like.
And we try. And let me just say this to you, because I just wanted to add on to that. But I want you to also know that we're not always around positive people. You know what I mean? You are many times around negative people in negative situations. And my thing is that I already know if I have been placed in that position, the Creator wanted me to experience it for some reason. And he's either doing a greater work in me or a greater work in somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you're not always going to be put with like people, you know, but the gift is when no matter how negative the situation is, that you can come in there and shine your light, have a smile on your face, do the best job you can, and be a blessing to somebody throughout the day, then your work is done. You understand what I'm saying? You can change
Absolutely.
The mind.
Yeah.
You can change the mind of others through your actions. You don't always have to respond in a, you know, if somebody's coming at you in that way. And right. I'm not going to say there have been times when I had to be a little crisp, you know,
mm-hmm.
but just to get the understanding across that we're not going to do it like this. I'm here to help you, and we're going to do it this way. And I think sometimes when you tell people that, and then it kind of shocks them into reality, and they get on a good foot.
Right. I love it. I love it. I love it. I just had to call and let you know. And to the Tonal Sisters, thank you again. Thank you
You're
again
welcome.
For sharing so many great people to us. Thank you again.
So
you
so
ladies
sweet.
Carry on, because I know you have another caller online.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Viola.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Bye-bye. Let's see here. Who else do we have here? Let me try one more time the same number. Hello? Okay, they must be just listening. Don't want to speak. Okay. But what has been, like, your biggest challenge of your career?
Let me see. I really feel, I haven't had too many problems. There have been, you know, like personalities or people
mm-hmm.
who maybe have wrong intentions, but I've learned, again, you know, how to get around, you know, how to get
right.
around that. Makeup-wise, I've not had, like, challenges in, well, you know, maybe sometimes if a director changes mind at the last minute and
mm-hmm.
wants a big prosthetic thing, you know, when you've had I was doing a television series, The Wire, for HBO, and every episode, I think somebody was getting killed or beat up or something. And we would always
mm-hmm.
have meetings with the director prior to an episode. And, you know, you would ask the questions, oh, how badly beat do you want this person, or do you want, you know, what kind of, you know, gun are they using to make this wound and stuff. And, you know, so I had this one situation where a young 14-year-old boy was going to be beat up by the police. And the director said, well, I don't want him beat up too badly because he's 14 years old, and we don't want him to look like it's police brutality. So I said, so no swelling or knots or anything. He said, oh, no, just a little light bruising. Well, the day of the shoot, you know, I did a little light bruising like he had instructed me to, and he went to set.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought him back and said, he wants his eye to be swollen. Now, you know, they're ready to shoot. And I've not ordered a swollen eye, and I can just remember in a split second, I went into my little prosthetics cabinet, and I had a broken finger, pinky finger prosthetic, and I used that broken pinky finger and put it on the young person's eye, smoothed it out, and painted it up, sent him back to set, and he had a swollen eye, and the director loved it. So challenges like that where people come to you at the last minute, I've had
mm-hmm.
many of those, and you just have to pull a rabbit out of the hat, you
mm-hmm.
know. But for me, like this working, and, you know, I never really chase after jobs. If somebody calls me and asks me to send my resume in, I'll send it in. Or if someone calls me and says I've been recommended, you know, it's fine. But I never do cold calling so much for myself because I feel like, you know, people don't always know you. And resumes don't always say everything,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, you know, it's, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it's just that it can be different, you know, in every town that you work in. Like there's a town, if you have a lot of jobs and people have worked one job after another, they may have a big resume, but when I say that, they may work the day here on this job and the day here
right.
on that job, and they've
right.
not worked the whole movie, so they maybe don't know because the industry is so new in that area. They don't know everything from the interview to rap, how you know, how mm-hmm. all of it works. They know that they may be doing makeup here one day and there. And so, therefore, their resume really grows quickly. But they mm-hmm. may not have all the substance and all the footing to sustain them, you know, in a
exactly.
job. So it's exactly. just, you know, it's just a lot of things like that. You know, those kind of challenges, not knowing sometimes, you know, if the people you're hiring can do the job, you know. And one thing I say all the time is never misrepresent yourself. And, you know, and sometimes people do, but I just think it does a disservice to you, you know, when you do so. So and I think that's been, I guess, one of my biggest challenges, you know, just having, you know, especially when I go into town and I don't know anybody at all, you know, uh-huh. and I don't have a recommendation, you know, and you just have to go with what you have sometime.
Right.
Absolutely. Is there anything in your career that you haven't done that you desire to do?
You know what I would really like to do? But I know it takes a lot, you know, it's a lot of time and study. You know, I've bought the books and all. But when they do, like, animatronics, like, you know, moving parts, you know, they mm-hmm. make puppets, you know, to mm-hmm. and some of the, you know, and you still think it's a real person, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some of the gags when they've casted the actor, you know, and then made their likeness, you know, with silicone. I you know, those, I would love that.
Gotcha.
You know, to learn how to do that, you know. But I know it takes, you know, years and years and years of doing it. But, you know, I know a little bit, you know, but not as much as I would like to know to make me comfortable enough to do it. You know, it's always something that you can learn. I don't care how, you know, how long I've been in this business, I believe, and I go into every job knowing that I can always learn something new. You know, and if you keep yourself open like that, you will. But if you go
right.
and you think that you know everything, you're not going to learn anything.
Right.
That's right. Absolutely. Final question, Debbie.
Yes.
What is beauty to you?
Well, I think beauty, and for me, is it comes from within, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how pretty you think you look on the outside. And, you know, I got this from a little girl, my mother. She used to say beauty is as beauty does, you know?
Mm.
I just think when a person has a beautiful spirit, there is just a light, you know, that shines. And they can just light up a room when they come in. That's it. I just think it comes from your heart, you know, and you genuinely want, you know, to show love or, you know, or share you with the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has so much to do with, you know, even though we say, you know, like, you know, our industry beauty makeup and stuff like that, but you can be as cute as you want, but if you act ugly, you know, you're not cute to me.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, it really is. I just think it comes from within,
mm-hmm.
you know. And,
right.
it's not something that you can teach, really and truly. You know, I would any day, hire somebody with less skill, but they have a beautiful personality.
Right.
Because I feel like I can always teach a skill. I can't
mm-hmm.
teach personality.
It's true.
I think it's an asset, you know, to have a beautiful personality. I really do, and especially in this business. And people see through you. The actors see through you. Your coworkers
Absolutely.
See through you. The producers, they see through you. And I treat everybody the same. The PA, like I treat the executive producer. You know, you never know who your gatekeeper is going to be. You never know where your next job is coming from. So I'm not going to kiss up to the actors to latch on to them. I'm going to treat them well, make my makeup trailer so lovely and nice that they can come in and be in the right frame of mind when it's time for them to go out on set. But I'm not trying to have new best friends. I'm not trying to kiss up to the producer. I feel like all of my blessings come from God. So I want to come in there and shine the best light and do the best job because I've been blessed with that position, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's how I do it. And you would be so surprised. My recommendations have come from PAs, ADs, people in office staff. You just treat everybody wonderful if they comes back to you, you know. And right. You just don't treat a person because you think, oh, he can hire me, so I'm going to treat him nice. But that little PA is going to be a producer, executive producer, or director someday. You understand?
Right. Absolutely.
So I want to spread seeds, you know, in them. Like, I want to plant, you know, just let them know that you're supposed to be here. I know this job is hard right now, but you're going places. So, you know, you speaking a positive word into somebody's life, you never know how it would affect them. And you never know how people will come back and tell you later how you bless their life because you treat them a certain way. And it's not because you thought you can get something from them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely.
Is there anything else you haven't mentioned that you would just like to share with the listeners before you go?
Well, I'm telling you, I mean, it's so much. You know, I would just say going back to, you know, I guess when I was younger, you know, how you would do things differently. And again, you know, if you go back to your, you know, there's certain things that, you know, you do. Again, I tell you, I don't compete, and I think I learned that early on. I don't compete. I'm just going to just do the best job I can. But mm-hmm. one thing I can say for sure, things happen for you and not to you. So when you think some negative thing has happened to you, it's happening for you. It's going to teach you something, or you're going to be able to use it to springboard you into your greater good, you know, down the road. So, you know, don't always take. It's not so much, you know, I would say it's 10% circumstance and 90% how you handle it. So, you know, just look into yourself. You always have the gift. And just try to handle everything in the most positive manner that you can handle it. You know, and I just think that you'll be fine.
That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Debbie.
I thank you all for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you to everyone who called in and asked questions.
Yeah, I appreciate all of you. You know, and I just know we're going to spread this love. So, you know, I'm just looking forward. You know, you never know, you know. Some of the callers that call in, we might be working together someday.
Exactly.
Right. So just spread the love and help one
another. Absolutely. Well, Debbie, we will see you soon, very soon, I'm sure.
Yes, of course. Looking forward. The holidays are
absolutely
here. We have to break bread together.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I know you have a little cold, so we're not going to hold you. We're going to end the show right around now. But, again, thank you, and thanks to all the callers and for just everyone who tunes in every Sunday night. We really appreciate the support. So I don't know if there's anything my sister needs to say before we hang up, but
you can join us next Sunday. We will have our very first Nigerian makeup artist on next Sunday, Lola Maja Oko, I had this pronunciation down before you told me to say something. It's Lola Maja Okojavo. She will be here next Sunday. I'm excited about having her on because she as well does a lot of film and television over in Nigeria. She's born in Nigeria, grew up in London, and moved back to Nigeria. She's married now with two children, and, I mean, she's all over the place with makeup. She
film and television, but she does a little bit of everything. But her main thing is film and television, so we are excited to have her next week. We're not certain exactly of the time. It will either be 9 p.m. our time or somewhere around 2 p.m., 3 p.m. Next Sunday our time. So we will get back with you and make sure you all know exactly when we'll have her on next Sunday.
Hmm. I'll be tuning in.
Cool.
Right. Exactly. It's going to be a treat. And then also, she forgot to mention next Saturday.
I really didn't forget to mention. I was just waiting for
I'm sorry. I'm going to let you go ahead and tell it.
We have a tweet chat next Saturday at 2 p.m. And we are speaking with Barbara Oni Anwa of Barbara 1923 blog. She's Nigerian as well. So next weekend, it's all about the Nigerians. And we're going to be discussing makeup for women of color.
Beautiful.
So be sure to look out for, information on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We'll be putting information out there about that. So that's next Saturday and next Sunday.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Thank you again for listening, tuning in. Thank you, Debbie, again and again and again. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys so much. It was my pleasure.
You're so welcome. Everybody, join us next Sunday. We'll let you know for sure exactly what time. If we do the show early on Sunday, we will definitely upload it so that you can hear it at 9 o'clock on the webpage for the Beauty Talk webpage. So just come back out here to this Blog Talk Radio site, and you should be able to hear the show at 9 o'clock. If we're not doing it live at 9, you'll be able to hear the earlier version at 9. So one way or the other, you'll still be able to tune in at 9, but the actual live version may be earlier, but we'll let you know. All right?
Great.
So everybody, have a wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.